Lord, my life to you I bring. May each song I have to sing be to you a lovely thing. What a wonderful sentiment. Appreciate that song, Logan. That's one of my favorites. Thank you. Thank you for singing, encouraging me with that. Thank you for being here tonight. If you're visiting with us especially, we're so very happy to have you. And we do have, again tonight, just a number of visitors. Glad you could be with us. The lesson that I've prepared for this evening is a little bit unusual, about a couple of unusual people. My parents were not normal. I don't know about your parents, but my parents were not normal. My parents were Christians. My dad served as an elder in the church for a while, deacon in the church for a while, but they weren't normal. The word norm means a pattern of behavior that's typical for a social group and accepted in that group. Behavior that is considered normal is behavior that is commonly accepted or acceptable within a group. My parents were not perfect. They would not claim to be perfect. And by the preceding definition, they were not normal either. They were not parenting according to the rules and accepted guidelines of the world around them. And frankly, they weren't interested in parenting like that. And tonight's lesson, although I'm going to be talking about two particular people that meant a lot in my life, the import of the lesson really is to share with you from the Word of God some expectations that God has both for parents and children. And since most all of us are either parents or children, I guess all of us actually are children, aren't we? We're one or the other, or both, perhaps. I think this will apply to everybody. My parents were not normal because they wouldn't allow me to go mixed swimming. Now, as a young person, I thought that was entirely uncalled for. What's wrong with going swimming with people who happen to be not of the same sex as you are? What's wrong with that? The problem, of course, was not that males and females were swimming in the same place, but that they would likely be doing it without enough clothing on. And that, my parents recognized, would encourage lust. They recognized that more and more swimwear was not being designed to promote godliness, but rather to promote lust. I was born a long time ago, but after the invention of the bikini. So that was already a concern when I was a young man. My parents knew that young people don't need to do things that promote lust. They face enough of those kinds of things as it is, and it certainly does not need to be promoted in their lives. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, Paul told Timothy to flee youthful lusts. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, Peter says, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And so while my parents actually had me take swimming lessons in a private pool in a place where I could be and my instructor could be dressed modestly, and they wanted me to learn how to swim so that I might be able to save my life if I fell off a boat sometime or something like that, they didn't let me go mixed swimming. That was something that was strictly forbidden. My parents were not normal. They would not let me go to the prom. The prom at the high school that I went to in Colorado Springs, Colorado, was a big deal in that school. We had about 2,100 students in 10th, 11th, and 12th grades, a very large high school. And it was the social event of the year, of course, especially for juniors and seniors. My parents had heard sermons about the sin involved in modern dancing. They knew also that modern dancing was designed to encourage lust. And I suppose that's even more so today, isn't it? We've gone from what was called modern dancing to what was called dirty dancing to whatever they call it today that they're doing on television and the music videos. I don't have any idea what that's called. But it's beyond dirty dancing. It's beyond that. So, Mom and Dad knew that that would encourage lust. In fact, it was designed to do that. My dad had worked at a custodian in a high school for several years in the 1970s. He knew what went on among the students during and after the prom. Not only was the prom known to promote passion and lust between the sexes, but it was commonly regarded as a rite of passage among young people, in which they were sort of expected to engage in drinking and sexual promiscuity on the night of the prom. And so it was just not something that I was going to be involved in. See, my folks had respect for the many Bible passages that warn against that kind of activity. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3, Peter says there, "We've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." There was a time, maybe before you became a Christian, where you did all of that, but Peter says we've spent enough of our past lifetime doing all that kind of stuff. And when it comes to things like walking in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and revelries and drinking parties, all of which might go on at the prom or in the after parties that go on after the prom, that's not something that a Christian is going to do anymore. My parents recognized that, and they weren't about to let me do that if they could keep me from it. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, the works of the flesh are evident. They were evident to my parents, apparently. The works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. That was evident to my parents that those were works of the flesh. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3, 4, and 5, Paul says, "This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." So whatever it is that they do in the music videos, whatever it is that goes on at the prom, that's what the Gentiles do. Passion of lust, unable to contain their sexual desires. The Good News Bible reads in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 and 5, by the way, that God wants you to be holy and completely free from sexual immorality, not with a lustful desire like the heathen who do not know God. My parents were raising me to know God, so they wouldn't let me go to the prom. My parents were not normal, and here's where you're going to raise an eyebrow. They didn't let me go to the movies. I was not allowed to go to the movie theater. And it was really hard for them to enforce this rule as well, because in Colorado we lived for a time in a house where our back window, you could see the drive-in screen from our back window. And so it was sort of hard for them necessarily to keep me totally away from movies, but they didn't allow it. I wasn't allowed to go and watch a movie. You say, well, why not? What's wrong with just going to a movie? They wouldn't let you go see a Disney movie? They wouldn't let you go see Bambi? No, I didn't get to go see Bambi when I was a kid. Why not? Had Bambi not been born? No, Bambi was alive back then. But that's not why. See, my parents had this idea that Hollywood stood for, and really it does still stand for, doesn't it? Exactly the opposite of what a Christian stands for. And their concept was that if you go to a movie, you're supporting Hollywood. They saw that Hollywood, as they called it, glamorized drinking and smoking and marital unfaithfulness and gratuitous violence and worldliness in general. And television and movies in particular were often ungodly, if not anti-God. You say, well, did they keep you from television too? Well, for a long time they did. We didn't have a television in our house until after I was well into elementary school. And finally we got a television. I couldn't wait. I was so happy to have a television and watch some cartoons. Finally, all my kids talking about all these cartoons on television, all my friends talking about watching cartoons on television. We finally got a television. And we were living on Okinawa at the time and turned on the television. And cartoons came on. They were in Japanese. So it didn't do me a lot of good. But my parents didn't want me to go to movies. And they restricted our television, especially when we were younger, quite a bit. The premise was that found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And they felt that so much of what went on in the movies and so much of what was produced by Hollywood, maybe not everything, so much of it was the unfruitful works of darkness. And they didn't want me to share in that. They didn't want to share in it either. My parents were not normal. They never cursed in my presence. Think about that. A young person growing up from cradle to the time he leaves home, never one time did I hear either one of my parents say a cuss word. I certainly heard a lot of cuss words, but not from them. I heard from friends at school, sometimes from the parents or friends at school, both kids and adults in the neighborhood in which we lived. But I saw a contrast between the language of my parents and the language that most of my friends used. Proverbs 10 and verse 32 says that the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked is perverse. I felt that the difference between how they would speak to me when they were angry and how worldly people would speak to me when they were angry with me was much, much different. Oh, make no mistake, my folks got angry with me. And sometimes they spoke in tones that showed that they were angry with me. But they didn't belittle me. They didn't cuss me. I had a football coach one year in high school. He could have written a dictionary full of four-letter words. He knew all of them. And I think one day in practice, he must have used all of them just on me. I had the whole dictionary of four-letter words just used on me. But not for my parents. Proverbs 15 and verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. I think that's how mom and dad felt about it. Proverbs 12 and verse 18, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. My parents didn't say things to hurt me. They said things to help me. They weren't trying to wound me. Trying to make me a better person. And that was not normal. Not normal. Here's something else that's not normal, and several of you will raise your eyebrows at this perhaps. They never signed me up for sports unless I asked. Someone says, well, what in the world is wrong with sports? Well, my parents had this idea that there was a value in physical exercise. And most of it I got by working around the house and out in the yard. And I'm going to talk about that in the next point a little bit. But they believed in the value of physical exercise for sure. And I got a lot of that. They believe that bodily exercise profits a little bit. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of the life which is to come. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. And my folks knew that I liked sports, and I did, and I still do like sports. I participated in several and continue to do so when my body allows me to do so. I like to watch sports on television. They let me sign up for various sports, and I could participate if that's what I really wanted to do. But the sports could not interfere with church. If I had a ball game on a church night or a gospel meeting night, church was going to be first. And they couldn't interfere with my work, which kind of brings me to the next point, that my parents had this strange idea that I was supposed to work as a child even, that I had things I was supposed to get done. And these were like requirements that they just expected, demanded of me that I do things. Working around the house, as I mentioned a moment ago, mowing and trimming the grass, doing the gardening, washing the cars, cleaning in the house. I learned, people are surprised to know this, but I learned how to do a load of wash when I was still in grade school. Now, I ironed my own clothes. Oh, not that mom didn't do it, she did, but I did some too, and all of that sort of thing. And they expected me to pitch in, and they expected me to keep my room clean. And my dad, former Army sergeant, would come and give me an inspection pretty regularly about that. And I'd have to straighten it up according to his specifications. That's the way it was. They expected me to work. I remember one summer when I was in high school, I was working at another job as well. Dad gave me the chore of painting the house. And his chore was to inspect my painting. And so I would, you know, work at my job, and then I'd work on a painting a section of the house, and then he would come home and inspect, and then I would repaint the part that I'd already painted that day to meet with his specifications regarding how the house was supposed to be painted. Those were some of the unusual, not normal, things that my parents expected me to do around the house. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 27 says that it's a good thing for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. And I felt like I was really bearing the yoke. I remember one time, Dad had me on a Saturday when all the other kids were out playing, and I was probably in junior high school. And he had me out working in the garden. And again, I'm telling some personal stories here, but I want you to relate to this. My dad had a beautiful garden and a beautiful yard, and our whole backyard almost, all the way around it, was garden vegetables and all that sort of thing. And my dad didn't believe in a tiller because it didn't get deep enough, you know, as it was tilling the ground. What you needed was a shovel, a spade, and me on the end of it. So the entire garden is turned with me on the end of a shovel. That's why my back is in the shape it's in today, probably, turning that garden every year. And over and over. And I can remember doing that, being out in the yard one time and working like that. And I mean, it was really back-breaking work, really difficult work. And I was doing it just to the best of my ability. And Dad comes along, and you know, he's admiring some of the flowers he just planted. And he said, "Steve," he said, when you're grown up, you think you'll ever have a yard that looks as nice as your daddy's yard does?" I said to him, "Dad, I don't know, but I know one thing. I won't use slave labor like you do." And I'm glad he thought that was funny, because had he not thought that was funny, I would have been in bad trouble. But he did. He laughed about that. They made me work. Any kind of honest labor, no matter how difficult, no matter how menial, was not beneath me. They made me understand that. Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor there is profit." From the time I was in seventh grade, I got a job in seventh grade at minimum wage. And from the time I was in the seventh grade, I worked for wages. I worked cleaning toilets, mopping floors, bagging groceries. None of it was beneath me. I needed to understand that. Most children nowadays, you try to pull that on them, they think that you need to have the parents arrested, probably. Not my parents. They taught me also, though, the value of enjoying what I'd earned. I made money. I was to save a good bit of it, but I could spend some of it on what I wanted. And they taught me the enjoyment of that. Psalm 128 in verse 2 talks about that when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. Dad didn't take us out to eat much. He wouldn't buy me a 19-cent hamburger. I remember that one time. The hamburgers were on sale for 19 cents. No, it cost too much. He wouldn't buy me a 19-cent hamburger, but I could buy myself a 19-cent hamburger with money that I'd earned. My parents were not normal. They made me work. They spanked me when I needed it. And, of course, mainly when I was younger. I forget what age I was when I got my last spanking, but I got a lot when I was younger and coming up. Maybe you did too. I was disciplined early and often. Proverbs 13:24 says that he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. And I can only tell you this, I testify to you tonight, that as a child, I was very loved. Because he who loves his child disciplines him promptly. I was very, very loved, because I got a lot of those spankings. I never felt like they were worried about overdoing it either. It was like today, if you give your child two spankings a day, well, you're afraid the DHR is going to show up or something and take your kids away. But they weren't worried about overdoing it. If I needed it, I got it. It didn't matter, how many they'd had to give me before or whatever. Proverbs 22:13 says, "Do not withhold correction from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. They spanked me and they loved me. They never divorced or separated. Never considered it, as far as I know. Never talked about it. They didn't always agree on everything. They had times in their lives that were especially difficult. Burdens that they had to bear. But they never separated. They never divorced. They knew that what God joined together, man's not to put asunder. There are preachers in the Lord's church today that don't know that. My parents did. They always took me to church. There was never a question when we got up on Sunday morning. Are we going to church today? Never a question. Are we going to make it to Bible class? There's never a question. In Colorado, where we lived the furthest of anybody away from the church building. I think it was about 15 miles. Almost every service, we were there first. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. That's my dad's doing. That was my dad's doing. We would get up and we would be there, all of us. There was never a question about that. There was never a question about, well, are we going to go to this gospel meeting or not? We were going to go. They did not believe in forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. When I was a little boy, we lived in Utah, in Dugway Proving Grounds, Utah. Had to drive 80 miles to the nearest church. Dad got a camper. We would drive on Saturday, camp there overnight, go to church both services on Sunday and come back. Every Sunday. Meet with saints in the little place in Dugway Proving Grounds on Wednesday. That's what he did. My parents weren't normal. They made me get my Bible lesson. If I had a workbook for Bible class that I was supposed to be filling out, a memory verse that I was supposed to be getting, I got it. I got it, or if I didn't get it, if they didn't check beforehand and they found out afterwards that I didn't get it, I would get it, and then I would get it from again, going back to the spanking thing, I would get it. I, like Timothy, had a godly mother and a grandmother, as well as a godly grandfather and father. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 that he called to remembrance the genuine faith that was in Timothy, which was first dwelt in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, and also in Timothy. And Timothy had that faith because he was taught the Scriptures. Paul later says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. He was taught them from childhood. That's what my parents did with me. And I still remember getting ready for bed at night, and Mom coming in and telling us a bedtime story, except it wasn't a story. It was some Bible event, some piece of Bible history. And I could tell you about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David and Goliath, and all of those great Bible pieces of history. I'm sure before I was 5 or 6 years old, I could repeat many of those stories to you, because those were our bedtime stories. My parents were not normal. They studied the Bible themselves. My dad lacked any real education. He'd gone through elementary school. Later, when he was in the Army, he got his GED. He had some difficulty just processing words. He may have been a little bit dyslexic, although that was not diagnosed. But he studied diligently. And I can remember many, many nights, him, while we might be doing other things, sitting at the kitchen table with his Bible open and a notebook open, Zur's commentary, just trying to dig it out, trying to understand what God was saying in His Word, night after night. I could see the attitude of the psalmist in the lives of my parents. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 97, Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. My mom would study through the day often. She'd teach ladies Bible classes, have home Bible studies with ladies, teach us children regularly. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. So that's it. Y'all have to admit, I was right, huh? My parents were not normal. My parents were not normal. When I was a child, I sometimes wished that they were normal. But today I'm so glad they weren't. My parents would not have held themselves up to others as the perfect parents. They would not have. They would both be embarrassed by this sermon tonight. They would not insist that all other parents do what they did, and I'm not insisting on that tonight. My mama was not, there's a new word that's been submitted to Webster's dictionary, it's sanctimommy. She was not a sanctimommy. That's some, you know, a mommy that thinks that she knows better than everybody else how to raise kids and always telling others what they're doing wrong. She wasn't one of those. What I've hoped to do in this lesson really is just to present an example of a couple of sincere and thoughtful Christians who did what they believed to be right in raising their children according to the Scriptures to the best of their ability. They made mistakes. They did some things that may not have been necessary. But the point is they weren't concerned about being normal. They were concerned about pleasing God. And parents and children, all tonight, let's be concerned about that. They were not normal. They were not perfect. They were concerned about pleasing God. Like the Lord said of Abraham so long ago, I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. The Lord has known you, parents. The Lord has known you and you know him. And he has blessed you with children. And he expects you to command your children in his ways, to bring them up in his nurture, training, and admonition. And if you do that, in this world, you will not be normal. You will not be cool. But you may save the soul of a child that you brought into this world. And that's what it's all about. There might be somebody here tonight who needs to give themselves to Jesus. Maybe your life is broken. Maybe your family is broken. We're going to sing a song, Bring Christ to Your Broken Life. And if you need to come, we'd ask you to come while we stand and sing.